Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
South Africa's economy continues to wrestle with the aftershocks of prolonged supply constraints, subdued growth, and slow recovery in economic activity. Now, you're going to tell me there are glimmers of hope, the easing of inflation, gradual financial recovery for households, but there are also challenges like fiscal risks and sectoral stagnation. And I don't need to mention external geopolitical uncertainty. All of that is looming large. So I want to talk about that with Mielani Maluleke, who's an economist at ABSA, and specifically about the latest Q4 2024 quarterly perspectives and the road ahead. So, Mielani, good evening to you and a very warm welcome. So, maybe just in layman's terms, explain to me why our economic recovery has been so slow. Is there one specific key factor that is impeding or holding back our growth?
Yeah. So I think one key factor that has perhaps not received as much attention, I think, over the last couple of years as a critical driver of growth is the demand side of the economy, and in particular, the strength of the consumer. I think over the last couple of years, we've spoken a lot, of course, about the challenges that electricity supply has presented. And I think that in addition to that, we've also had a weak consumer demand environment. And what you have seen, I think, Jeremy, over the last couple of quarters is that even as your electricity supply constraint is eased, the ongoing weakness in domestic demand that we've seen has constrained the degree to which the economy could recover. And I think that's why we've seen that even in this environment where, you know, sort of the biggest constraint that we've had is not exactly with us right now, the growth numbers that we're still talking about for Q2, what we're likely to see for Q3 next week is really still quite modest.
But having said that, though, better news, as I mentioned in our introduction, about the consumer outlook. One assumes that consumer spending is going to start evolving positively as inflation eases and household finances gradually improve. So that green shoot is maybe starting to grow a little quicker than we thought.
Absolutely agree. I think two big challenges from a cyclical perspective for consumers, of course, last couple of years been one, inflation. That has come down. That's to say, told us that inflation was at 2.8% in October. We haven't been at those sorts of levels in a very long time. We are going to pick up a little bit higher, but I think you look into next year, even with the uncertainty, it does look like we should be having an inflation environment that should be much better than last couple of years. And of course, that's very positive for real wage growth, which for a lot of workers here in South Africa has been negative last couple of years. I think that should be in a much better position. And of course, we also have the SARB that has started easing interest rates, not easing, of course, as fast as some of us would have hoped for, but it's an easing cycle nonetheless. And I think it's a cycle that could continue into next year. And of course, with the implementation of the two-pot retirement system, it's a short-term boost, but for a lot of people who've been under a lot of pressure, that should help, I think, to relieve some of the pressures that they've seen. So I think we're looking at a 2025 that is a much better consumer demand environment. And that's also going to be quite critical for growth, in addition, of course, to this improvement that we have in our infrastructure performance.
And against that backdrop, then, are there specific sectors that are showing quicker signs of recovery and which are still struggling to bounce back?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a little bit surprising for us when we look at the micro level data. The manufacturing sector has been a little bit slow to pick up. I mean, you always think about manufacturing as one of those parts of the economy that is, you know, sort of most exposed to electricity supply, or should be more sensitive to electricity supply, and you would have expected it to pick up a little bit more. That's been subdued. Mining has also been a little bit volatile, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the commodity price environment, obviously not as supportive as it has been a couple of years ago. The construction sector, there's been a lot of stress in that segment for a very long time, and we continue to see ongoing weakness in that space. But I think to your earlier point about green shoots, the one part of the economy that already is, we're starting to see a little bit of a pickup, and we have seen it as well from some of the companies that have come out to talk about results over the last couple of weeks, is retail. We can see retail sales volumes, those are starting to pick up. We see it when we look at the auto sector, that those volumes are also, I mean, the base is slower, of course, but we're starting to see those starting to pick up as well. So consumer-facing sectors of the economy, I think there's some really encouraging green shoots that are starting to pop up there.
Notwithstanding, though, your report also talks about public sector wages and ongoing municipal dysfunction cited as huge risks, and this is going to affect our fiscal stability.
Absolutely. I think, of course, when the medium-term budget policy statement was tabled in October, the minister did mention that revenue would underperform a little bit, and that, you know, expenditure would be a little bit higher than they anticipated, but that the fiscal consolidation strategy had not changed very much, and not changed very much in the sense that the government or the National Treasury still expects public debt to peak next year. And it's a story that's also been very well bought by S&P, which of course did upgrade the outlook on our sovereign credit ratings. But I think one of the things that we were trying to flag in our report is that even with Treasury saying debt could peak next year, there are risks that we need to be mindful of here. And on the spending side, I think state-owned companies are still a big concern. Wages are also still a big concern, because we know the government still has not secured a deal with public sector unions for next year. They are asking for more than what the National Treasury has budgeted for. And we also know that, you know, there's a huge amount of dysfunction at municipalities, a huge amount of debt, and there still isn't a clear resolution in terms of what's going to happen to that. So those are critical spending risks, I think, that could undermine the effort to consolidate fiscally and stabilize that debt in the years ahead.
And let me add another layer of complexity to that. Given that South Africa is an export-led open economy, there are external factors like global economic volatility, the recent US election outcome, and general geopolitical risk, whether it's the Middle East or Russia, Ukraine, that is also going to have an impact, a negative impact potentially, on our economic trajectory.
Absolutely. You know, it's very concerning, of course. I mean, we don't know exactly what it is that Trump is going to do when he comes in Jan. He's obviously campaigned on a ticket of trade tariffs, immigration. We don't know if that is going to be inflationary in the U.S., what the Fed is going to do. And if he does indeed go ahead with tariffs, what other countries are going to do as or implement as countermeasures, and what the impact of that is going to be on the performance of the global economy. So there's still a lot of uncertainty out there, and I think, you know, if this did play out in a bad way, it really could undermine the potential for this kind of economic recovery that we think is possible for South Africa going into next year.
Well, that's a good window into what has just happened recently and what's likely to happen in 2025. Emilani Malaluke, thank you very much indeed, economist at APSA. Always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.